to get started here, we're very honored that Dr. Julie Tadaro is able to join us today. She is Dean of Library Services and Head Librarian for the Rio Grande Campus Library at Austin Community College in Austin, Texas. She is also a past president of the Texas Library Association and the Association of College and Research Libraries, a division of ALA. Dr. Tadaro is author of the quarterly column, Nothing But Net, in the Community and Junior College Libraries, and also Lama's quarterly column, The Truth Is Out There. She holds a bachelor's degree in English and History from the University of Texas at Austin. Her master's degree in Library and Information Science is also from UT Austin, and her doctorate in Library Services is from Columbia University's School of Library Service in New York. She is a nationally known speaker, and we are very honored to welcome her as our premier speaker in the TLA Strategic Initiatives webinar series. This webinar is an extension of her article in the current issue of Texas Library Journal, which is available on the TLA CE page at www.txla.org/CE. And Julie, without further ado, if you'd like to take over, I will continue to work on the sound. And we're very excited to have you for today's webinar.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate it. Most of you, or all of you, should be looking at the blue screen, which is actually a photograph of my office. So those of you who know me or have been to my office know that that's a pretty accurate representation of the information in my office, slightly better organized than that. I'm very excited to talk about the school library data because TLA's commitment to gathering information that's really allowing us to make data-driven decisions. I think that's one of the most important things that we've been able to do in the last couple of years. Granted, it was funded by a number out there who has compared the photograph with my picture. Thanks so much. Anywho, we are very interested in getting out the data and the use of the data and data in general to everybody who's interested in school libraries and public libraries in Texas. And I've been on a small road show to talk about the data and the content that we want to provide for everyone today is really a broader look at the data. The PowerPoint that you see in front of you is going to be on the website, as Ted said, and in addition to that, I have given a handout, and that handout will remain there as well, and it is with a lot of the basic information, but with some additional information that can summarize things. When we start to talk to our administrators or our superintendents or whomever we talk to, and we'll talk about that in a minute, typically, people have a perception of what we do, and it's always wrong. And if you've heard me speak, you know that I say I'm the single greatest reason for gun control in Texas because I had so many people come up to me as a children's librarian and say, gee, I'd love your job. I'd love to sit here and read all day long. And I would venture to say that while other people may not want or care if anyone makes those comments, I think that anyone who works with children is not understood fully in terms of what they do. And I think that libraries in the past were really, we all knew we made sound decisions, but in addition to that, we seem to have to go the extra mile to convince people of what we do and what we want. And there are four basic questions that I don't know if anybody's ever going to have the full answer to them. What do people know about the library is so individual for people's perception of the library in their hometown, where they grew up, in their school. But that's a major question. The second question to me is even more important when we look at the concept of the school librarian and the importance of a certified school librarian, a school librarian professional in each campus. Who knows what you do? And that's a battle that you're going to fight forever. And that's okay. You know, we know that it's a revolving door in terms of who we have to convince, but we do know that data-driven is the most important way to do that. The third question, who knows what you do and what the library does to support the school? And that is a joke there in terms of grammar, but it absolutely speaks to what happens. And the reason why I link those two things in one sentence is because some of the most important data and some of the most convincing that we can do is in the arena of showing the librarian as integrally connected with the school and support for the curriculum as we know they are. And we don't want to see the library stand alone in any delivered data. So when we use data about the library in general, we always need to make sure that it's very clear that the professional who delivers those materials and that Big Six instruction, that information literacy instruction, is integrated into that data, into that discussion as well, because I see the librarian and the library going together into the discussion of what's needed and who we need to convince. The last question, in terms of who understands what you do to contribute to the educational process, those people are really few and far between. We have, you know, wonderful school library coordinators who understand what we do, and their job is always a challenge for prints and school teachers, but it never ceases to amaze me when I meet with new teachers and new faculty, those people who are both new to schools as well as new to the profession, they still don't know. Everything's free on the internet. You know, we've read all the books in here. These books are just for fun. They don't understand how we support the process and how we are integrated with that. The exciting thing about the data that we gathered from Texas Library Association study is that the overall perception is great, and that was an extremely important thing to find out, and it just couldn't have been more positive, talking about how wonderful that people feel libraries are in their community and what the perception is of the importance of them. But that message doesn't end there. We have to deliver that message, and then we have to increase the kinds of data that we pull together for people. The next two slides, I have what seems to be an interminable list of people. And the reason why I list these people is because it truly does speak to the different kinds of data that we have and how we have to tailor the data that we present to the individual group. And there are literally two slides. We've got teachers, principals, superintendents, students. I separate out student volunteers as a separate group. We know parents are different. We know parent volunteers are a separate and more knowledgeable group. We know the PTA is a separate group. And then when you go to slide two, I go beyond your school. And I know that we are building level specialists, but we know that the collective group is the much bigger group to convince, not every day, but certainly they are groups to be thought of when we talk about how we're going to match the data to these groups. And so if you have a friends group, other building level professionals, district personnel, school district administration, school board members, all of these people are individual groups, and you can pair them together, but they absolutely fit with some data better than others. I'll point that out a little bit later when we take a look at some of the TLA statements and from the data generated, and who, for example, might be the better group to show that to. We know that we have a standard set of data that we deliver to people. And while we gather it together and we hope that it convinces others of our value, we kind of list those things that we typically know we have available to us. A lot of the data that I've gathered for years and that we gather is what I call flat data. And that means it's one-dimensional. How many books you have in your school library is a flat data. How many books are in any library? That's a flat number. When you join that data and look at it in the context of another number, then that's a two-dimensional data. For example, when you look at the slide, how many books we check out, that's flat. How many books we have available for students per the number of students, like we have 5 books for every student in our classroom, that's two-dimensional data. The more dimensions we add to data, the more it tells us and the more it's available to us for significant data. Another piece of flat data is how many classes come into the library for Big Six instruction, for tours, for whatever you want to call your orientation. Two-dimensional data might well be the integration of the lesson that you're giving with the social studies curriculum. So it's not just the tour, it's how many tour content sessions, how many activities the students did, they then took back to their history classroom, their social studies classroom. We know that there are other pieces of flat data out there, and the universe of that just gets bigger, and it just gets more frustrating for me, frankly. For example, how many articles are accessed from databases? And we struggle with that number because there are many apples and oranges out there when you talk about data. It's just never perfectly clear in terms of is one database counting it the way the other one does. But this is additional data that we gather and that we need to look of not just as one-dimensional but as two-dimensional. How many pieces of media are produced by your students is in some areas where you have small group, where you have production of students, they're making PowerPoints, they're using flip cameras to do videos, to load them into YouTube, your YouTube channel. All of those things begin as flat data, and then again, you add an aspect to it. How many students who came in to do Big Six then used your flip video camera to deliver a social studies project back in their class? That's a more two-dimensional data. A very classic piece of data, especially for school libraries, has been the age of materials and the copyright of materials. And we know that through major data gathering that that has been interesting things that we take with us, and we certainly have taken that to legislators. In fact, one of my most fun legislative sessions was with a legislator when we informed them, he just couldn't get it, why school library materials were so old. Weren't books good forever kind of thing? And one of the people with us said, well, we recently weeded our school library, and one of the books that we weeded was Asbestos is Your Friend. And I love that example because it doesn't matter the copyright year of that. That book has got to go. And it's that piece of information for people where they realize that, in fact, information does expire and that material does need to be weeded from a collection. We know that the flat data that we have and our one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional data isn't enough to convince people, and sometimes it's not at all useful. People don't know what you know. If you say you have 10,000 books, they don't know how many shelves that fills. They don't know how many of those books there are per student or media, piece of media or DVD. They just don't know those things. So when we look at the data, we first need to ask ourselves, who do we need to convince of that laundry list I gave you at first? And then the second thing we need to do is match that piece of data to figure out what convinces people in each group of your importance and your value. And there could be a number of things. Your library data as compared to other libraries in the district or in companion districts or contiguous districts. Your data matched to your students or to your school initiatives. Your data and outcomes, if they're gathering things in data. Or your data delivered in state assessment terms. If you're trying to hook into Blue Ribbon and you want to show how many materials you have used in social studies, if you're using your data in support of tax or TEEX preparation, all of those things are things that mean different things to different people. We know that examples of other success stories have helped us in using data. And one of the things that the Public Communications Committee has talked about is how to gather some of the success stories that we hear. We know that they're there. We know that they were there when we did the school library standards many years ago, when people would compare their library collections to the standards. So we're going to continue to gather those success stories. We know that it's important to match a success story to your size of institution or your funding level. So we know that you know the criterion that you would use to match a success story. We know that a small district that doesn't have even a coordinator or has a librarian who moves among campuses wouldn't match his or her district to a district that is a wealthy district or a district that has more money. That just wouldn't be a success story that would transfer. The other part that is critical about this is identifying opportunities for delivering the message as we move forward with using the data and other data we gather in as many possible ways as we can. We know that the TLA survey is And these are my suggestions for how you might use data. And I've divided this into two categories. The first is big picture. And when I think of big picture, I think, what might an entire district do? What might an educational service center do to assist the districts in their area? What might TASL do in terms of big picture, how they might approach the data to support people in general? So I have two sets here. I have the big picture suggestions, and then I have the suggestions that you might do that are what I call kind of on the ground level in terms of how you might use data to make your case. The what's unique about the data in terms of just gathering the information is TLA was committed to doing something very unusual, and that is we put the entire survey on the website. So you could go to the website, you could look at all the questions we asked, you could pick the ones that interest you. TASL could pick 10 questions, Region 7 could pick 10 questions, and they could replicate the survey in their own area amongst their parents or amongst their teachers or amongst their students to not only acquaint them with the fact that we have the data results from the big picture, but to do a comparison of how people are, what the perception is that people are for their particular area. So that's the first way that we hope the TLA survey will be used. We hope that it will be repurposed either as an entire document for you or that you can pull questions from it. Then the second one, obviously, compare your data against TLA's statewide survey. And then the third very big picture is to compare the data in Texas against national survey data. And at the end of the study, I have links to a number of things, many of which you are probably already familiar with. But there are websites where there's data delivered very recently. And myself, I include within the last 5 years as very recent, especially when you're talking about big number sets. I think you can use data successfully that occurs or appears or is delivered to you within a reasonable time frame, and I really consider 5 years a reasonable time frame. If we go to the next slide, some more big picture things are that I really hope that what people will do is to repurpose the data and using the data and parts of this PowerPoint presentation to create curriculum for training in your area. I hope the systems use it. I hope the educational service centers use it. I hope each of the school librarians uses it and has some kind of workshop in August, some kind of teacher training, some kind of librarian training that shows people data and how it might be used in your area. We have a very large number of people today, but in the context of 6,000 possible school librarians, all of whom could do at least one or two of these things in using this data, I think there's a long way to go to create curriculum for this. And certainly we look at this PowerPoint and the handout I did as that first set of curriculum to go out for people. Use it however you want. My only request is that you include TLA on the bottom of it. Don't do my name, just include TLA. The second big picture thing here is to partner with other district personnel to redeliver the TLA survey in general and working with people on the perception level, other school librarians in your district to possibly deliver everything or a contiguous district or 10 districts in a regional service center. I mentioned that as a big picture before. This is slightly narrower, but it would be two districts working together. The third one there is one that I've seen in a couple of other areas that I think work well, and that is to create a data warehouse to organize all of this data, the resources that I've linked to, and then as you all gather data in your own districts about perceptions or use, or I took this one question and it made a difference in what I did, and then link those to a wiki. And a TLA certainly has resources available for you, and you all are using a million resources out there. And so those are definitely things that are available for you to repurpose and redistribute data so that other people can use it. The other thing that I think is very critical about this is that these perceptions are wonderful introductory pieces to grant applications. The Laura Bush grant application series that's available, the Texas Book Festival if you're partnering with a public library, all of those kinds of grants that you might be applying for will be able to use this aggregated data, if for no other reason than in an introduction to talk about value of school libraries and the role school libraries play, an important role school libraries play at the building level as well as the district level. I think that TAFL is uniquely positioned. In fact, we're having a conference call tomorrow to talk with TAFL leaders about how TAFL might use some of this data. And certainly TAFL is very good at identifying best practices in general, but using data as the benchmark here, who's out there, who's doing it, who can repurpose this. So I think TAFL is very interested in pulling some things together that would highlight what individual people are doing. I am fascinated by what some of the websites are doing. LRS.org, and I have linked that, provided that for you in the list at the end. LRS.org has some interesting data where they created profiles of school libraries. And I guess the best example I can give of this is the profile approach of possibly, a Blue Ribbon school profile or a profile that you see when you get a one-page back and front set of data about what the school offers and what it has and how it supports curriculum. So some of these profiles, I think, are interesting to people because you can slip them in a letter that goes home to parents that is like a brochure, but it talks about outcomes, impact, as well as just a list of services you provide. So I really look at a profile is looking at the school library's outcomes and the impact that the school library hopes to have on an individual child's education while they're in that particular school. So I think the design of profiles is very important. And again, we're working with TAFL leadership to identify different ways that data that's already being gathered and future data could be put into profiles of libraries. And certainly the profile of a district might be an interesting one to create. The other huge big picture look, and I saw Barry Bishop was registered. I hope he or his people are on here. Barry was on the committee for the design of school library standards. And one of the things that we did at the second design, we didn't do it. Barry's people did it, believe me, all by themselves, was take the tacks and the teaks and match elements of what the school does in terms of the school library and what it provides and how it supports in terms of content, the tacks and the teaks. And I do have that Spring Branch ISD URL in the list at the end. Forgive me for using the word webliography. Those are the big picture ideas. And then I have some very sort of hit the ground running kinds of things. I really think that data is interesting to a lot of people, especially in terms of how we market it. So I recommend that people, given how they have access to their webpage, and I realize that varies per district in terms of the data that you can add to your webpage, but can you add things to your library homepage, the wallpaper for the computers in the library or in the lab, a screensaver marquee, some kind of a different fact or outcome or measurement or something every week, sort of the did you know approach. And those have really taken off with popularity, a lot of popularity in terms of people gathering information, you know, the I didn't know that kind of thing. An individual certainly can create an annual report comparing statewide data, survey data to libraries' performance, some of those things that we talked about you gathering. If you pulled the 10 questions, and then you went to know how that data related to your library. So that would be fascinating to put in an annual report that went to teachers and parents and students. When we went to one district to talk about this, we were fascinated to see that they have so many resources that they're using both within their firewalls and outside their firewalls, but anything that features them, the column in the newsletter, the online blog or wiki, the school or district's newsletter, the email signature that you use in your school, to begin to integrate data into that. I've seen people take their fax cover letter and integrate data into it or have the mission of the school on there. So anything that represents what you do, anywhere you can integrate that data is great. If you can put it on your letterhead, on the Big Six handouts that you do, fact for the day, on the ends of the shelves, anything like that, I think, illustrates your value. The data was so positive about what you do that that kind of PR and marketing is subtle, but it's noticed by people as it moves through the different kinds of things that you're sharing with people. I do think that one of the things in education that is the most successful technique is to approach teachers on their discipline-specific areas. And this is something that we see at the community college level and that we see at the university level, and I know it's at the K-12 level. And that is, we know that teachers have a bond within their school, but then the bond within their discipline-specific is sometimes even stronger than their grade-level bonds, because it really speaks to both primarily education. And so integrating data into any kind of discipline-specific teacher curriculum that is available. So if somebody said to me, if I had the opportunity to give a workshop in August for my teachers, should I give it to all my teachers in grade 5? My comment would actually be, give it to all the history teachers. Give it to all of the teachers who are teaching social sciences. Let me broaden that beyond history. Why not all the art and English and the humanities teachers, so that the discipline is the issue? I think, again, that's a bond that we find teachers fall into more quickly. In addition to that, the context of that is an initial issue, and they just seem to be better with that. The lesson on this slide is the actual preparation of a teacher workshop, and there is a great deal of profit in your own land, and we feel very strongly that clearly we have experts in the educational service centers, but you all are your own experts, and sometimes swapping districts where you have somebody come in from another district who you know what they know, they know what you know, but you just switch districts is also helpful, because they have a different perspective. It's not just them coming to hear you. Featuring library outcomes that mirror classroom teacher curriculum outcomes. I am one of those people who would love to start out with a blank tablet and start telling people about what we do, but in fact, I am more successful if I pull a required textbook or if I pull the required curriculum from science, and then I have a really stronger hold on that if I link it immediately to a teacher's assignment from a textbook. So everything we try to do in some arenas is to link to the curriculum first. Tabletop signs, posters, bulletin boards, all of those things that librarians have used so successfully for so long is a very important part of what we do. Creating that same content in non-library locations, either in the school or in neighboring areas. I always used to love the mats in the fast food restaurant where they were paper and that they would let you print during National Library Week or whatever some data about the school library, something that you can do either as a hit one year or not. I'm looking at the chat. I just wanted to add something that was on the ground level. Kara had talked about the fact that that TASL was working to work with Cindy Buchanan to see how stats are used to protect the jobs of all dean librarians. They're using their monthly report, and they're using data to show how it works with curriculum. That's the kind of thing that we absolutely want to have on that success story for the TLA site, so that we can collect those that TASL might link it from their site, so that we can use specific examples. We've seen some success, oddly, in adding things to fine notices, because that's not very good news, but any letters that go home, any piece of paper that parents put in their hand, any email that goes out if you email your notices out, is, I think, a really an opportunity to talk a little bit about the library. So even though it's a negative in terms of fine notices, we always try to turn it into we're trying to catch you in time so you can return that material, and then having something at the bottom that's library related in terms of data. We know that working with partners, I've seen librarians work with PTA for the PTA newsletters or the blast emails that go out of the friends groups. Again, looking at the different data, not just remember the library, but a did you know kind of fact. The more successful teams that we see, obviously, as I said before, are librarians working with discipline specific, but then picking that early adapter, that classroom teacher who's already working with you in a partnership and who will take some of the data and link it specifically to what they're doing in their class is the wonderful example of some very narrowly defined things that we think work. And obviously, then we often let the teacher take the lead in discussing it and in presenting something at an August workshop for how something worked particularly well for their students. Anything you could put at the bottom of a bookmark that you've got, your general library services brochure. We really want the data linked to budget requests that people make, even if you are asking for a percent over or just the money that you got last year. Anything that you can do. Most people have kind of standardized budget request forms, but any kind of cover letter that talks about increased use of the library, diversity of materials in the library, perception of the importance of materials by students and teachers, those and parents, those things that we know are in the TLA data can absolutely be linked to budget requests, both in the general and then specifically. And again, we'd love to see what Aldine has done and what a couple of the other places are where they've got some very much on-the-ground data. I always think that if you have a good relationship with a principal or, again, a teacher who's an early adapter or a school board member, if you have access to them, I think giving them a PowerPoint for them to deliver. If you ask people, please put this in yours, you never know where it's going to end up or even if they're going to have data. Creating a handout for someone to give out. Creating a PowerPoint for them, linking to data that you've already got that is literally designed A to Z for them to present, not with you, but for you, or please add this when you add in information about the school this year. Just as the kids scored high in tax and teaks and social studies, we in fact added a great number of social studies books. Now, keep in mind my example didn't say, and therefore we were the cause of those great scores. Until we get that kind of data, you don't have to acknowledge that. But certainly the presence, the resources, the availability of them, those things are things that we want the principal to continue to mention. We want those people who are delivering data to continue to mention that information. We are very interested in the Blue Ribbon approach, which is what I, Julie Cadero, call the report card, the district-wide report card. And again, we're talking to TASL about branching out in terms of designing templates for report cards, and we'll be able to, when I find out the direction that TASL leadership wants to go in, then we're teaming them with the Public Communications Committee to see how we can deliver some successes and some features that can be taken and then replicated for each district as their own report card. Again, the first example is the big picture, and then if that's too big a picture, which is absolutely understandable, to create a discipline-specific library report card. And the example I used of the social studies or the humanities, just to look at that, if, for example, tax or TEEK scores in some areas are greater than others, or you know that there's been an initiative in the school to increase the scores or beef up the area in one of those particular disciplines. Another way to look at the profiles is grade by grade, first grade, second grade, third grade. We see a lot of interest now in the big term for it is called rising junior, but in the graduating class. So if you're in a fifth grade, giving a report card that then says how they are, what skills that they have been exposed to, not that they've learned, but the big six skills that they've been exposed to as they go into middle school and how those things might be applied would be a wonderful thing to send home with the teachers. You know, your teachers, your student has been here for X many years, and we've created a number of exercises for them and the critical skills that we focused on in their time in X elementary have been, and they'll serve them well when they get to middle school. So that's a great profile. I know that school librarians do a lot of over the summer activities, not that they're working in schools, although we do see some of that. We know you're working in the schools, but in terms of the students coming in. But I do think that the page to go home in May, which is do this over the summer, we know that y'all do that extensively with reading levels and making sure that kids continue to read during the summer. And we see an increase in perception of schools and how they support when there are activities or blogs that change or read these 10 books before you come back or explore these 10 websites before you come back, anything that works for the school. And then we're interested in school and public content that's integrated together over the summer. And those would be some wonderful examples that we could gather. I keep saying book, but I do want to emphasize that I've used materials in here and that we know that databases, ebooks, audiobooks, streaming, all of these things are in the workshops that you're both giving and taking from the regional service centers, from TLA. We know that school libraries have a very rich, broad media look and that students both in elementary and middle and high school, or all in those areas, not both, are certainly using media, sometimes even more than adults are. So we know the school libraries are doing that as well. The final one is something that is a little difficult for people to do, and people who feel as if their library is behind, they don't have enough media, the library looks older, they don't have as many computers as they like to have, they don't have control over their website, they're not as automated as they like to be. I still want them to look at those cutting-edge things that are already going in terms of library world in general. And the things that I know you're linking to already is the 23 things, supplemental literature that supports tests, web-delivered resources. So I want to stress that you don't have to wait until your library gets to a certain level. You can start talking cutting edge because of what we know is out there and what is available to them, both at their home and maybe through one or two ports that you have. We are running slightly over, and I'm right where I want to be, but I do want to mention just a few things, if you'll hang in with me. I'm interested in data in general and what we call it, and the next two slides talk about data in general and what data tends to convince people. So the categories that you see are the categories in the order that you should use them. And the first thing is irrefutable data. People feel that statistically significant, robust data from credible sources is what you should lead with first. So in the future, you can look through this, but I'm going to quickly switch you to this. Look at the last thing that people put up as data. We are not saying that your opinion is the worst. We're saying it's the last thing you lead with. So you use it, and there are the six pieces of data. But we know that at the bottom of the list is anecdotal. It's important. Sometimes it matches perfectly with people, but you lead with the irrefutable first. Quotes are good. They can be powerful, but you lead with irrefutable first. Your opinion, expert in your own, not as powerful as data-driven kinds of things. So you're one of the six, but we really encourage people to use these in this area. I'm very interested in no dull data. I am this close to being a stalker of Edward Tufte. He is an incredible visualizer, and his materials on visualizing data, display of data, are just incredible, and they are real attention getters. So you can get a great deal from the books he's got at your local library. I'm sure you have them as well. But I thought I would give you a couple of other sources here that I think are good. The physics site that I found is really pretty incredible. It's a nice little online set of information that's going to get you going. Unusual charts and graphs. They deliver from KidZone, it's a .gov. Is very good. And then Gary Kloss's work I like, and he has one site that is moving over to just plain data. And that's a supplemental to how to construct bad charts and graphs, which I love. I love the how to construct bad things and then how to back out of that into something else. I really push for people to expand their ask, not from I need this new material, but in outcomes language. This addition to my collection will support the grade, the student population, the discipline, the activity, the program. So I look at people to expand their ask. Finally, I wanted to give you an example. If you look at the slide, I have taken six or actually seven examples of the TLA ask. So it says, school libraries enjoy strong and intense voter support. And that was a wonderful thing to find out. Well, who would I match that to? So I took that laundry list of things, parents, teachers, students, and I put them in order of who they might convince the most. So you may or may not agree with me because your district may be different, but the dark lettering, the black lettering is the TLA data. What's in blue is who the data might best match to. Finally, I'm going to skip ahead here to the web listings here and just point out a few things to you. American Association of School Librarians really has incredible information on their website. I think they have one of the best divisional websites around. And what I've done is highlight for you as we move along some of the things they have that are very data-driven. But they're doing exactly what we want people to do, and that is focusing on the target group. So, for example, their new toolkit is the Parent Outreach Toolkit. And it's fascinating the way they've done a targeted approach. Their drop-down tabs on the next one indicate some more unique things that they've provided for people, and they have some really good data. So they have a good section called What Studies Show About School Library Media Specialist Contribution to Learning. Very, very good. And we certainly have that data from the Texas site, and they've linked to some things. And Gloria and I have talked about informing some of the master sites about our own work. So when you look at their toolbars and their drop-downs, they have some wonderful things. And this, we're not talking advocacy here in and of itself, but I wanted to point out that when you go to the advocacy area, they have wonderful quotable facts about libraries, which we, of course, now have as well. So leaving AASL, David, I call him David Lutcher. Other people pronounce his name appropriately. Sorry if it's not, but this is LRS.org. That I mentioned to you. He also has links from his work in faculty. So this is a 2005. It's excellent, keeping up with research, linking very, very good data. Some that links Big Six and information literacy is a very good summary of research that he's done with Blanche Wolves, another expert in the field. And Mike Eisenberg in the Pacific Northwest delivers lots of presentations. He's very data-driven, and he provides all these for school librarians to link to and use themselves. And if you look at the slide, it's by newest at the top, and these are PowerPoints and handouts for people to use that are excellent that you can repurpose. The School Libraries Online has a wonderful School Libraries Make a Difference to Student Achievement, which, again, is exactly what we're going for here. And then I have a couple of other links to things that I think are good, and I'm just kind of paging through them here to let you know what they are. I've checked the links on most of these pages. They have some excellent examples of school plans. Barry, here is your tax and your TEKS, which is just such a unique area for people. Then I have some data that you can look at later that you may have already seen on the website that really looks at our methodology and what we've done and the extraordinary kinds of things that are available. I'm going to end with pointing out to you that I think this is one of the most important parts of the survey. Not only do we have the survey, but the data can be sorted to personalize just for you. So you can personalize this, you can sort it by county, type of respondent, party affiliation. It's really an extraordinary way to personalize this information for you. This is the slide that TLA has prepared that really talks about thank you and other contact things. I know I'm over, but if I know some people are still there, I would love to answer questions. I'm sure I haven't presented all the information, but that's why we have both the handout and the PowerPoint up there for you to reuse as you wish. Just use TLA's name.
Thank you so much, Julie. We are running a little bit late, so I will invite you to contact Julie or me directly if you have questions later. The entire PowerPoint and the handout are available right now on the TLA website at www.txla.org. I want to thank all of you for attending the very first of our TLA webinars. Please check our website next Monday, October 19th, for your CE certificates and for the recording of this webinar. The visual and presentation and the handout are available now, as I said. You're all going to receive an evaluation survey immediately after this webinar. Please share your observations with us. These webinars
do not mention
are
my hair.
And do not mention Julie's hair. These webinars are a brand new enterprise for TLA, and we want to make them as useful to you as possible. So any tips you can give us will help a lot. Here is my contact information. If you would like, please send questions or additional comments to me directly. Ted Warner, Continuing Education Specialist for the Texas Library Association. So again, thank you very much, and thank you for all you do to support Texas libraries.